My name is TJ Pinto. I am 21 years old. Today is March 22nd, 2019. I am speaking with Lauren Meckler, who is my college friend. We are recording this interview in Newark, Delaware. Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood, what you were like as a child?
Precocious.
Okay.
I would say. I really liked to get into everything. Mm-hmm. And my parents were very, I think, supportive of that. My parents are just very supportive in general. They really have dealt with a lot.
What do you mean by getting into things?
I just like to have my nose in things.
Okay.
I was always just very nosy. Mm-hmm. Would ask a lot of questions. My mom likes to say, and I think I'm still a little bit like this, I would want to do things, but I would very much do them my way, even if that was wrong.
Okay.
And she eventually just gave up trying. Like, she would just, as long as it wasn't going to hurt me, she would just let me figure it out. And that's, like, how I would learn. That's all I could do.
Do you have, like, any specific examples that, like, come to mind when you think of that?
Specifically when I was a kid, so I did 4-H for 10 years.
Okay.
And the 4-H, I did different clubs, but the one club that I was in for all 10 years was the rabbit and guinea pig club. So they have like rabbit shows that are kind of like dog shows, but like for rabbits. And there would just be a lot of stuff like with that. So like, I don't know, like, it was like a lot of like cleaning the cages. Cause I mean, at my max, I had like 10 rabbits, which is not like a lot for like when you're breeding them, but like it was a lot for us.
Yeah.
And she would have like the way of like cleaning the cages that was the fastest. But anytime she would try to be like, you should do it that way, it was like, no, that's your way and I want to do it my way.
I love that.
And it would just like be super long and terrible, but at least like I wasn't letting other people make my decisions.
So. That's awesome. Do you think that like kind of has translated at all to like who you are today?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's a very bad habit. That I've tried to not do. Like, I've tried to accept other people's versions of things, but I also think that it fostered kind of this ability to be okay if something fails. Mm-hmm. And to problem solve, especially. Because, I mean, after so many years of just being like, okay, like, I'll try to do this thing, and it will fail, and then I'll, you know, try it again, and then it'll work. Definitely, I think, fostered some perseverance in there, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of thought, like, as soon as you started talking about that, I was like, I don't think that's completely negative. Like, I think you definitely could have some positives come out of just, like, being really into everything and wanting to find your own way to do that.
It's good for that, but then also I think you do lose some of the background knowledge that other people can offer you. Mm-hmm. And wanting, I think also so much in life is... Like I think of, like, medicine a lot. So at one point, like, people were talking to doctors, and they would ask, like, oh, why do you do this thing this way? And they would say, oh, well, that's how we've always done it. And you can come in and just do that status quo. Actually, I don't know where I'm going with this.
It's all good. It's all good.
But... like, you can come in, and if you don't have that background knowledge, if you don't listen to, like, your colleagues and, like, your superiors who've been doing this for years, you can't grow on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of start from square one anytime you start something.
Okay.
So I do, while it is a good thing, I think that also getting an idea of what other people are doing can also help.
Awesome. Really cool. Thanks, Lauren. So tell me about a teacher or other adult that has had a big impact on your life while you were growing up.
While I was growing up. Can this be like freshman year?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I think the one like that always comes to mind whenever I'm asked about teachers is I took a class my freshman year. So it was my honors colloquium for English. And mine was this really weird one that got a lot of bad, like, it had a bad rep, but, like, the two professors, it was an anthropologist and then a biologist, and it was basically talking about evolution, and we had to do all sorts of crazy things, but I have never met, especially with the biologist, I've just never met a man more willing to call out bullshit than than him.
Okay.
But specifically, he would just be like, I remember at one point the anthropologist was talking about something, and she was talking about some criticism she'd gotten that wasn't really warranted. And, like, this guy was just like, well, yeah, like, you know what, sexism is still alive and well, and just so willing to call something like that out. And especially when I was a freshman, when growing up, like, I didn't know any queer people, and I especially didn't know any queer scientists. So I remember going into college being like, if I want a career in science, I can't be out. Like, I have to be in the closet. And that was actually a huge reason that at first I didn't think I would go into science, because I was like, that's not the life that I want. I'm going to have to go into something like more liberal. I'll have to go into the arts or something. And I remember one day in class, the one professor was talking, we were talking about adoption. We were talking about nature versus nurture. And he just went on, like, he just, like, made one comment, and it was, like, one sentence of saying something along the lines that, of course having two loving parents, even if they're gay, is better than having, you know, a neglectful parent or having no parents at all, and, like, just, you know, really in support of that. And it was the first time I had heard a scientist or a PhD say something like that, and it really stuck with me. And I remember that was the day that I was like, maybe I can do that, you know, maybe I can have both of those lives. Yeah,
that's so awesome. So have you, like, been able to keep in touch with this professor at all over the past couple of years?
I have. Yeah, so I keep actually in touch with the other one a lot. Okay. More the anthropologist, but I do see biologist. Anytime I see him, like, it's always a good time.
I just think, like, I mean, even if you don't see them often, like, that impact they had on you is, like, so special. Like, do you think they had any idea that was, like, that meant so much to you?
No, and I'm, like, really scared to tell them about it, because, like, I feel like I'm just gonna start crying. Like, I'm, like, tearing up a little bit right now. But, like, I feel like before I leave, I should, like, write a letter or something.
Yeah, I definitely think that's something that, like, would mean so much to them, but, like, because they literally changed, like, what you thought you could do, or, like, how you could live your life. That's so awesome.
Yeah, and to me, alongside that, it's one of the reasons that I feel like I'm so outspoken about some things, because it's just like, I'm in a place where I can be. And especially, like, with young kids, like college, like, or young college kids or, like, high schoolers, like, I know that people come in thinking the same things that I did. You know, and especially if you're, like, not in the field, like, you need someone. You just need that one person to, like, finally say that to you, and you're like, oh, I think it's this whole new world. You know?
Wait, that's so awesome. I love that. Yeah. Cool. So what are your most vivid memories of school?
Of school? Mm-hmm. Are we talking, like, high school or?
I would say probably, yeah, like, high school or earlier.
Probably, like, in rehearsals for musicals, so, or, like, performance nights. I'm just trying to think. Those I think are the nights that, like, stick out. I'm trying to think of, like, a funny one. I also, just a memory that I don't think, this was in kindergarten. We just got our two, like, me and my brother just gotten two kittens.
Okay.
And I really wanted to bring them in for show and tell.
Okay.
And so my mom brought them in, and we opened up the carrier, and my cat, like, did a beeline for outside. And he was just, like, gone.
No!
In front of all these, like, three schoolers.
No!
Yeah.
Like, gone?
No, we got him back.
Okay, good.
He lived for many years. Okay. I just remember, like, I was like, Mommy wants to come out. He was clawing at, like, at the cat carrier door, and I was like, well, he wants to come out. Like, he's an individual, he should have rights. And I let him out, and the door was open.
Oh my god. I love that. So I'm glad that your cat, like, I legit, when you said that your cat was gone forever.
Like, No. Oh, thank you. He was just, like, I think, like, literally right outside the door. He got outside. He was like, what is this? <It's> like, oh my god.
The whole world is in our living room.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
And then I went on, I named that cat Dude, mine Dude, after the movie Hey Dude, Where's My Car?
Nuh-uh.
Which I still have not seen to this day.
So you have heard of this movie and that's what you named the cat after?
Yeah, I was, because the movie came out and I was, I think I still do this, I'll hear phrases and I'll be like, that's hilarious, I'm gonna say it every day.
Even if I don't know what it means.
Yeah, and for me that was Hey Dude, Where's My Car? Anytime we needed to find the car, I would say that. I thought it was funny, so I was I'm just gonna name my cat Dude. And I was everyone's gonna understand this reference. No one has understood it.
Well, I do, so that's all I need. Even I haven't seen the movie, but at least I know it as much as you do, so.
I'm trying to think, isn't there a character in The Big Lebowski called the Dude?
I don't even know what The Big Lebowski is.
Oh, it's this old movie. All I know is that there's a white guy and he drinks a lot of white Russians.
Oh.
I think he may be called the Dude, because that would be a much more badass origin story for my cat.
For your cat, except for just Dude, Where's My Car?
I mean, the cat's also dead now, so I guess it doesn't really matter. But if I was about to name another cat Dude, that's what I would say.
Okay.
The cat was named after.
Honestly, I think you should. Dude the Second or Dude Junior.
My family might actually kill me. They hated that I named the... I lost my privilege to name animals at a young age because I had my cat named Dude. And then my first rabbit that I got, his name was Patches. He was all black except for a little white spot in his nose and one white paw. And I was he has two patches. It's a plural.
I was about to say, it wasn't plural with the one nose, but I was at least it's not just patch.
Yeah. But then I was well, I'm going to name him Patches because he has two patches. But I'll know that he's named after Patches O'Houlihan from Dodgeball.
Yes. You're really about these movies right now.
At least I'd seen Dodgeball at that point. But yeah, and then after that... I was not allowed to name animals.
I'm still tearing up at the fact that your cat ran out the door. I just can't imagine. I imagine you running after this thing as a little kid. That's hilarious.
I think my mom was just stay there. And she's I'll handle this.
You be the child, I be the mother.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Let me parent.
What advice would you give to your teenage self?
Stop being such a shit. It's just probably, I don't know, I very strongly feel so my teenage years were really rough, and I, when looking back, I very much feel I was doing the best that I could with what I was given. So, maybe get in therapy sooner.
Okay. Yeah.
Just do that sooner. And also just the advice of fuck them. Maybe the people who want to be in your life are going to make an effort to be there, and the people who aren't making an effort aren't worth it. It doesn't matter. It started hailing. That's cool.
Are there any positive moments or memories from your life that you think shaped you into who you are today? And at the same time, are there any negative events or memories that you have that think shaped you into who you are today?
Oh, goodness. I think anything in life, the negative ones come out more. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of positive, because there have definitely been positive memories. But, here's a good one. My junior spring, I took a leave of absence, which I believe you know, but all of the listeners who are definitely going to listen to this might not know.
Okay.
And so I was doing an internship, or I had signed on to be a field assistant in Central America. And I went, and a lot of things in this project went wrong. A lot of things were not as they were advertised, and it was a very bad experience overall. But there were a couple of scientists who I'd been to this institute previously, who I'd met the first time that I was there. And they were so supportive, and just so wonderful. And after having been kind of like shit on for 3 months and finally deciding that, like, finally wanting to like take a stand, having people who were so supportive of me, and even like the one girl literally drove me to the airport at like 5 a.m. Like, she didn't have to do that, and like, you know, and she like made sure that I got home okay, you know, after the flight and everything. And I just remember that experience. And even so a friend of mine, who again I had met the first time I was there, she happened to still be there the second time, she, every single week I was there, we would try to get together. And it got to the point where we would have wine and wine nights where we'd like drink wine and complain. But I was talking to her later, and she was like, no, those are the nights that I took and we got together. And I was like, tell me all of the shit that has been going on. Like, she was like, you needed to tell someone, like, you needed someone here. And that's what I used those nights to do that for you. And I remember just like, there were weeks where I was just like, because everyone I was with, everyone I worked with, would go into the city for like a night out, and then I would stay because I didn't want to deal with them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, cool, like a night without them there. Mm-hmm. And it just really, it was one of those times where it was like, everyone feels terrible, but it's not true. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just one of the times that I felt so wonderfully supported. And these were not, especially the two grad students who helped me, like, these were not women who knew me well. Mm-hmm. And just knowing that there were people who are willing to step out, even for people who they don't know very well, it, I think, was a huge lesson in kindness and in support, and just how much it can, like, be influential to people, because I'm sure, like, that they have that it was not a big time commitment for them, or that they just, it didn't stick out in their mind. Mm-hmm. But to me, I look back and I was like, that, to have that experience at the end of something that was so terrible, it just completely shifted my point of view. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm sure, again, like, that there are other positive memories. Mm-hmm. Like, my life has not been sad.
No, well, I also think that the fact, like, that technically, like, isn't a positive memory, but, like, the fact that you were able to turn something that was so negative in your life into something that was positive, I think it, like, does take a lot. Like, I think it's not something easy for, I'm sure, for you, but, like, also for anyone who would have been in the situation that you were in, like, easily just be like, oh, that was a crappy experience, like, I don't want to think about it, but, like, at least you came out of it with something that you can at least say, like, there were some positive people in that. If it wasn't everyone, but, like, a few people that you could just be, like, that I really value and, like, what they did. And I also love the wine and wine nights. I think that's incredible. So.
So she started her PhD in Baltimore. And we just keep being, like, we are, like, anytime we Skype, well, now it's more like we Skype and we're, like, did you get wine? And then just, like, no, did you? No, I'm just going to stick with, like, whatever I have.
Yeah.
You know? Like, no, neither of us went out, like, got it. But, yeah. Yeah, it's nice.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then I feel like, again, like, negative memories. I'm just like, yeah, like, I can pick out all of, like, the terrible things that, like, shaped me. But I think definitely the most influential, I would say, as of right now, was I had a friend when I was in high school. So it was, I believe, the October I started high school. Yeah. Like, passed away from suicide. And this was around the same time where I was, like, contemplating something similar. And I guess this is, well, it's a sad memory, but it did shape me. And then that was, like, the turning point for me of, like, I went into high school not expecting to finish. So I, like, that was the first time where I was, like, this is something tangible, this is something real. And it's forever and it's permanent and it's not what I want. And so that's when I started going to therapy. That's like when things started turning around. It was not an immediate turnaround, but it's when things started shifting. And yeah, like I, really kind of felt like I had a new lease on life. That's when I started like getting really involved and like not particularly like excelling, but like started, I think, like branching out and like exploring things. And that's kind of when I adopted a kind of like, if somebody doesn't want to be in your life, that they don't have to be, and that's okay, sort of deal.
I think that's something that I like really appreciate about you, though. I think that you are such a like fun and positive person to be around, and I think that you're really just like, I'm so happy that you are here and that you were able to, you know, make that change and like do what was best for you with your mental health. I'm so sorry about your friend. Like,
oh, thank you.
But it's, I'm like, really, you seriously are someone that I value so much, and like I'm so glad that like I've met you, even if it took healthcare theater. Like, we were like, okay, we were like cool the first time around, but I feel like we really got super close last semester, and like,
for sure,
I'm just like so glad that you're here and you're someone like that. I really like, when I think of college, like you're someone that I like genuinely is like, who am I gonna catch up with soon? And like, you're one of those people. Like,
aww,
you're amazing.
Thank you, that means so much to me.
Yeah,
yeah, it was and I think just to tie it back, actually, into this class, mm-hmm. just from that experience before you get too far from it, like for a long time, I think I was like really internalizing a lot of the guilt from that experience, because it was like, well, if, you know, her death had that experience on me, maybe like it could have been me and then she would still be here, you know, that sort of thing. And so I had a lot of guilt surrounding that.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, I'm like gonna start crying, because it's just like, Steve Goodwin, mm-hmm. Stephen Goodwin of the University of Delaware.
great guy.
But we were talking about a woman who forgave her son's killer.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys raised his hand and he was like, if that were me, if I'd been the son that was killed, I wouldn't want my mom to forgive him. I would be angry because, you know, that man is the reason that I'm not with you. And like, Steve was just, he's Steve now.
It's all good. He's still Dr. Goodwin to me, but maybe when I get out of this class, we'll see.
He's still going to, I don't think I'll speak to his face, but this private conversation. Steve was just like, to him, it was like, well, in my perspective, once you've moved on, that forgiveness is there. And kind of what happened was, it is in the past, and all we can do is move forward and forgive. And like, I don't think there are any hard feelings in heaven. Something along those lines. And I was just like, oh my God. Like, I remember, I don't remember if I walked out of the class, but I was like crying. I was like, oh my God. And that was really, I think, like, one of the first moments that I was like, it's not my fault. Like, you know, and objectively, I always knew, you know, I had nothing to do with it. But it was the first moment where I felt like I could, like, forgive myself. So that's awesome. That was also a positive memory that I think shaped me. Yeah.
That's so incredible. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you, like, sharing that with me. Like, that's seriously, like, such an incredible thing, because we did learn that. Like, I had that class with him like just a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and like, you know my situation, like I struggled so much like with everything that I went through, and I like still think I struggled to forgive with like everything that went on. And like, yeah, I just think that's so awesome that you were able to do that yourself, or like just to like come get some closure for yourself, or to feel like no longer guilty about something that happened like that. Like, that's incredible.
Thank you.
Tell me your favorite memory of me.
I hate these questions because immediately my mind just goes blank. Like, immediately all of our interactions are just erased from my memory, like Black Mirror style. I have no idea who you are.
I know I could think of at least one, like, my personal favorite memory with you. Mine with you is when we did the birthing scenario too.
Yes.
High key. Like, just us being the worst, like, simulation patients for these nurses. Love that. Like,
yeah.
I look back at those videos sometimes and I'm just like, this is like one of my favorite things from that semester, because mm-hmm. it is so hilarious.
They're so good.
Yeah.
And like, you just play, like, I remember, oh my God. Okay, so I feel like there are a few, but one of my favorite from those sims mm-hmm. is when you were just like talking, and it was near Christmas time, so we're like, oh, we're gonna have to get like the baby stocking. And I go, yeah, like we can stop by PetSmart on the way home. And you just like went with it. And then maybe 45 seconds later, you go, did you say PetSmart?
I forgot about that, like high key. Like I just like that was not in my memory anymore. And then it's it was so delayed. I really like I heard you say it, obviously.
Yeah.
But like I didn't realize you said it.
You just like you went with it, and then 45 minutes later, you're just like, or 45 seconds later, you just like you were like, wait, I'm sorry, what? Like, and you could see it in your eyes before you said it. You were like, I just made that connection. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh yes, and then there was the time during those Sims where. To the mom, so me, like I birthed the placenta, and you go, ew, girl, that's what Kim K eats. And none of the nursing students laughed.
Yeah.
None of them thought it was funny.
Okay, I thought we were both really funny. Like, need a talk show kind of funny.
Sarah Beebe was laughing. Like, the nursing instructor was laughing. And I was like, if she gets to laugh, you all have to laugh.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I miss that class so much.
Such a great class.
Have you done birthing scenario this semester at all?
Yes, but we're only doing one. The first one right now. Mm-hmm. And so that's, like, the boring one.
Okay.
Although there was... At one point, the nursing instructor, she was like, just say you're in a lot of pain. And so I did. And they were like, okay, well, we'll shift you. And she goes, say it isn't enough. Say it's worse. And I was like, okay. And so I did. And she goes, they're still not doing what I want them to do. Yell at them. I was like, I don't, okay. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I felt so bad.
Oh, but you didn't feel bad? We were being actual jerks to them in birthing scenario two.
No, because birthing scenario two, I'm like, you've already been through birthing scenario one. You'll be fine. Like, me, the first time I saw that mannequin and a baby come out of that mannequin, I was like, never. Oh, no. Like,
oh, no, no, no.
And then they would just, like, they would just take... the mannequin's blankets off. Mm-hmm. And so I just had like a full view of the private area of this mannequin with its very like kind of anatomically correct, but like very much not what it looks like. I was like, no.
Oh my god. Wow. I just love that. And then also even when we did disaster drill, I feel like granted, I wish we were married in that scenario, looking back on it. Okay, well, I know.
You know, I don't know whose idea that would have been, but it would have been a good one.
I know, you're right. It might have been yours, but I'm not 100% sure. But, one of my favorite parts is I was, like, laying on the tarp, like, the yellow one, and yeah. You came running over, and I insisted. They were like, they need to check on you and Becky first, and Becky's, like, chilling. Like, she just is pregnant, but, like, you have, like... blood coming out of your ears, and I was like, oh my god, they really need to deal with her because like she's important. I'm looking at all the nursing students like, yo, and I just love screaming at you, and you just, and I didn't know that you couldn't hear until we were out there. Like, I don't remember you selling me that. I knew that like you had something. I saw bruises all over you. But I was out there talking to you and you just like weren't responding. And I was like, hey, Lauren. And you're like, ah.
I just remember like pointing to my ears being like, I can't hear you. I was being like yelling it, but I was like,
oh my god, I love that. That was such a fun time.
That class is a real trip.
Mm-hmm. And I think it also has a lot of really like, I mean, we joke around and like have fun in it, but I feel like we also learned, like I learned a lot from it, like personally, like how you treat people and like clinical type of things, just like how your words come across, especially in things like depression assessment. Mm-hmm. When I did that, I talked about that the other day, like someone just literally came up to me and was just kind of like, oh, like, what was it? They just came in the room when I was like depressed. They're like, hey, how are you doing? How's your day going? Blah, 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 blah. And they were like so hyper. Yeah. And I was like, I hate you. Like, I'm pissed off. Like, don't talk to me.
Yeah.
Like, you learn like from little, like, it's obvious, but it's just like such an awesome class.
I think even like explaining it, I think it's hard to truly articulate the growth in like interpersonal communication that you have. Mm-hmm. And just being able to like think on your feet or like assess a situation quickly. Or even just to identify problem behaviors, both in yourself and other people, is really important. Because at least then you can be like, oh, hey, you know, like, when you came in the room with a big smile on your face and didn't respond to, you know, how I was feeling, it felt, I don't know, felt isolating, mm-hmm. You know, something like that. And being able to convey, like, how you're really feeling to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Before we go, one of my first memories of you is also one of my favorites because it's such like a quintessential like TJ thing. So Healthcare Theater was not our first meeting. We had chemistry together freshman year. Mm-hmm. And you came up to me and told me that. And I'm quite notorious for meeting people and forgetting. Mm-hmm. I have a terrible memory for like names, some faces just leave my brain as soon as they, you know, come in. And I felt terrible because I was like, I was imagining that you were like talking to me and like, like we were interacting and I just like didn't remember you and I felt really bad about it.
Yeah.
And then you were like, well, I sat behind you and I always got there after you and we never talked. And I was like, oh, so that's why I don't know you. But it was when you were like, oh yeah, like we had class together. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy thinks I'm a huge asshole. Yeah.
No, I remember you like quite vividly in that class. And it was because you sat right in front of me. So like, that's why.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing, like when we were talking in the happiness class recently, just how you can sit next to someone or behind someone for an entire semester and have no idea who they are. And I'm just like, you like the fact that we could have been friends since first semester freshman year, but like didn't get close until, you know, like junior year-ish, like junior, really senior year, I feel like.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's awesome. I don't know. I'm so glad that I've had the chance to like meet you and just like the fact that like, even though it was like junior years when we just first really met, like the fact that I've been able to spend like the latter half of my, you know, college career with someone who's super awesome.
Yeah, I feel like I'm kind of glad just because I feel like you're so different freshman sophomore year and the impressions that you give are so different. So like I'm glad. I'm not as glad that we don't have as much time, but I'm glad that like this is like I feel like when we met, we were so compatible. And we just, like, hit it off very well.
I was also a very different person my freshman year. So I kind of agree with that. Like, I don't think, like, I do wish we had more time, but I don't think that we would have been as close as we are when we were freshman versions of ourselves.
Also, you know, that chemistry class was at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
So, and in, like, a huge lecture hall. So I definitely was just, like, just zoned in. I was like, no, can no one, I don't even know what's going on in this class.
Yeah.
Let's just let it go.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Thanks for like doing this interview with me. This is like so awesome. I love this a lot and I might use this app a lot more because it was like super cool.
Yeah, this is fun.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And we should definitely keep talking after this, but
yeah.
Thank you guys.
Bye.